Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and in the studio I've got Robs. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm really good.
I see you've got your I'm Not a DJ shirt on.
I do, yeah. It's laundry day, so I'm getting to wear my brand new, newly designed hoodie.
Robs, as well as being our Nature Connection guy, also makes, you do live electronic music, which to the uninitiated looks like you might be DJing, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. Every gig I've played, I've had people coming up, because you don't often see people doing live electronic music, but you get thousands and thousands of DJs. And people come up, oh, I didn't know you were a DJ, Robs, which I take offence to, because it's hard. It's hard, like, making all your music and performing a whole set of it, and then a DJ goes on who gets to pick their favourite tunes that have ever been made and play them. Mm. Obviously not just play them. I used to DJ as well, so I know the skill to
So you have been a DJ. Oh, now the truth's coming out.
Yeah. But yeah.
So this is a very confusing way to start off a chat about Nature Connection, talking about electronic music, but we'll just park that for now. What have you been up to?
I've been doing a lot of sit-spotting recently, actually.
Sit-spotting. Yeah.
I've been on my screen a little bit because I've been sort of just doing a lot of admin and designing a new website. So really felt the need to bring a bit more balance into my life, and one of the best ways to do that, especially this time of year, is a sit spot, which we talked about before, but basically sitting with an intention to observe as deeply as you can the natural world around you.
Okay, so you just find a nice place to sit.
Exactly.
Outside.
I was actually going to encourage you to sit spot and get you started on doing a Raglan Community Radio studio sit spot. You got quite a limited view, especially with one of the windows blocked out. But there's life happening out there. I was actually doing a little sit spot before I came in.
Oh yeah.
I even did a map. But
where were you? that's Bow Street.
That's Bow Street and the benches and the palm trees and the club. And in fact, I wanted to talk a little bit about how to do these maps, because they are incredibly helpful in terms of your connection and feeling connected. And best place to do it is at home. Best place to be connected and feel connected is at home, because that's where it's your anchor, it's where you spend a lot of your time. Mm. And this is a great way to get to know your neighbourhood in the different sense.
So to describe what I've just seen, Rob's just has got a little notebook and just drew with a ballpoint pen a map of what's happening outside this building, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes other buildings and the road and palm trees.
Yeah.
Not in any great detail. The point is not to do a beautiful picture, I guess. The point is to...
Yeah.
You tell me the point.
Just reference. Just draw enough reference. So if you do see a bird or something happen, you know where it sits on the map. Because it becomes important. And there's so many levels and you can do this.
Do you draw the bird on?
Ideally I'd have like different color codes for different birds.
Oh yeah.
And I'd add details on it, so I'd add the wind direction, the time of day, maybe even journaling what the weather was like yesterday, and follow that forward, because that's important in terms of what the bird conversation and behavior is.
So you're collecting data, but I guess you're saying the deeper thing is this is all about connection again.
Yeah, you go through the levels, and like I was sitting just behind my house yesterday, sitting on the hill watching the birds and seeing where the birds' nests were and different behaviours and who the couples were and where they like to feed. And then, if they're on a tree, what branch are they on? Different birds will favour different branches, will favour different trees. And whilst you're doing this, you're getting to know the individuals in your neighbourhood. And it stops being a sparrow or a blackbird, and it's so that sparrow and that blackbird.
Can you recognise individual sparrows from each other?
It's possible, because they have slightly different patterns and colorations.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously you got to look pretty carefully.
Yeah.
But obviously, in doing so, it's a great practice to do, because we don't do that very often, and we can.
Yeah.
And if we do, it's good for our brain. It's good for lots of different things. Obviously, our vision.
I guess our modern skill is identifying different cars.
Mm.
That's probably a skill we don't even realise we have. But we know when we can usually tell when our friend's car is coming down the road,
yeah.
Even though there might be 10 or 20 of that model and color of car in town, you can often, I mean, you might just read the number plate, but, you know, we do have skills like that.
We do. It's all in there, and it's, you know, we've adapted them, obviously, like you say, to meet our needs in this more modern world. But once upon a time, it would have been so important to be able to distinguish which sparrow it was, or, you know, really sensitive subtleties in the world around us, because they told us things and things which are really important to know. And those things might not necessarily be important to know now, because, you know, we've found shortcuts around them. But the process is we miss the process. And how that makes you feel, and what that does for your physical and mental well-being.
I have a good little story I remember. This is a very short story about someone who had befriended like a primitive tribe in a South American jungle or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this, and when I say primitive, I'm talking technological, not in terms of their human development. And they brought someone from the tribe back into the Western world, and they wanted to show them what things were like and what it was like, and give them a good feel for it. So they took them up like a hill to overlook the city. In my head, I imagine Mount Eden in Auckland is a place you would do that. And they thought they'd bring them up there, and then they could see what the city was like. And they sort of said, "What do you think? Do you got any questions?" And they the woman who they'd brought with her pointed to like it was some sparrow poo or something on the ground, and said, what bird made that? So that was like her whole frame of reference. She wasn't interested in the big view of the city and all the buildings and things like that. It didn't really register with her, but what was the bird poo, like what species was that? Was the pattern in it for her brain.
I got a similar story. Can I tell it really quick?
Of course. We'll just run late if it goes long.
Cool. Just, you know, sorry, Raglan, if you weren't tuning in to hear random stories of faraway places.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like us, really.
So it was, I think it was a tribe in Africa, and some charity organization were bringing in this water pump, you know, Oxfam or someone like that, and then donations had bought them a pump, so they installed it, but then they needed to show people how to use it. And this must have been in the early 90s or something, so they brought this big old TV set with a VCR player, and they had like a little tutorial video which they'd pre-made. And they got all the tribe gathered around this TV, and they played the cassette tape, and it showed them how to use it. And then they asked, any questions, once it had finished, and a few of them put their hand up. It's like, yep, what's your question? It's like, oh, like about halfway through, there was this chicken in the background. Where was the chicken going? And it's those little details, but it's an important point, because it kind of illustrates the difference in perspective that has changed from, you know, how we would have seen the world and what would have been important values to us for most of our time on this planet, and in a short space of time, how they've adapted and changed to being a lot more tunnel vision. You know, instead of seeing a big picture and taking out little details from the natural world within that, most people would just see the water pump. Or
do we have to specifically learn which type of poo is from each bird, or what call is from which bird? Is that the only way to connection? Can we connect with observing modern things as well?
Yeah, I mean, observing is the key,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And part of observing is being curious and asking the questions. And if you are sitting there with the time, you might wonder, I wonder what, you know, what bird made that poo, or I wonder what. That's nature as well.
Yeah.
And in wondering that, try not to go on Google, or even
nature connection. I think just, everyone could recognise that.
Just be, you know, be patient and let your questions sit there to be answered or not. You might wonder, that's a beautiful sound, that's a beautiful bird call. I wonder what bird's doing that. And just leave your question out there. You know, it's I see a lot of people will hold on to that so much that they'll ignore the next 100 bird calls, because they're so stuck on needing that answer. and they can't settle and they can't find peace until they've got the answer and moved on.
Well, no, because if we don't get the right answer, the teacher will grade us down.
Yeah, I guess so. Deep, Aaron. Too deep for a Monday. Come on.
No, that's perfect for a Monday. Oh, but it's not that I'm not telling the whole story there, but there's, I guess what I'm saying is we've got this urgency in us to get things right, like to get details right, and we don't really know why it's there.
Yep, it is. It's a modern value.
Yeah.
And it's got its place. But in terms of feeling connection and building relationship, which ultimately connection's about developing relationship with the other beings and natural things around us, it takes time and takes patience. And you put your questions out there, and one day you'll be walking along and you'll hear that bird song, and the bird will reveal itself. And they're beautiful moments. And having a mind full of unanswered questions is a great thing. It's a great, great thing to do, because it awakens you to the world, and it makes you excited and passionate to be outside and to be alive in this world and forever curious. I think that's a wonderful thing. And when I feel that, I really feel full of life.
I had a question in my head and it's gone. Which is actually, questions come back that really relates to it. This is kind of like the question you ask meditation people as well, like, my mind keeps drifting, I can't just still my mind. Mm-hmm. And I imagine in the sit spots, and our minds will quickly want to go to the thing, we're current thing that we're worried about or obsessing about, and we'll stop listening to the bird sounds or observing the natural world. Like, what do you say to that?
Well, that's all right. That's what we are and who we are. And I mean, I've got a background in meditation as well, and as soon as you're aware, you come back, and as having an object to be aware of can be helpful sometimes.
Yeah.
A nice thing to do is, if you've got a regular place to sit, close your eyes for a sit spot, and just don't use your eyes and don't be visual, and experience the world without light. And just let your other senses, smells and sounds, obviously, tell the stories for you.
Yeah.
A real cool one to do is actually, sometimes when I'm trying to listen, or when I used to, I'd get quite overwhelmed because there's a constant stream of birdsong and trying to grab onto each one, because I'm still learning how to let go of that need to know things. And it actually created a bit of agitation in my mind, because what was that? Oh, what was that? And then it became not very peaceful. So actually trying to listen not to the sounds but to the silence, as a concept, allowed me to hear a lot more, hear things a lot further away, hear everything, because there's not much silence, you know, and it's constantly being interrupted. Mm. And every interruption you'd hear and you'd log at some level. So there's definitely little tips and tricks which you can... which will help you along the way, but with time, your curiosity will be more powerful than your busy mind, and your passion, desire to actually get to know, how the next door neighbor's cat affects the bird and all the little stories happening around you. It's a fascinating thing. It's like David Attenborough happening right in front of you, on your doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, there is magic around you, wherever you are, in the middle of Auckland. You know, nature's everywhere. And there's millions of little stories happening right around you all the time.
So was this what we meant to talk about?
Well, I guess the nature of our little segment is, in a way, it's not really a meant to talk about thing.
No, but I do remember there was something we were discussing off the air that was going to be part of the discussion.
Yeah, I wondered if we should. I think going into, I mean, the birds are so busy right now.
Mm.
Most of them are nesting, and it's busy, and it's territorial, and it's competitive, and it's pressure, and there's mouths to feed. I was watching the starlings who got a nest in my shed, in the eaves of my shed. Watching them when I was doing my sit spot, and pretty much from dawn till dusk, every 2 or 3 minutes, one of the parents would be returning, exhausting watching them, was returning to the nest to feed the babies.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of dialogue and communication sometimes they'd return at the same time, but they wouldn't go in. One would just sit and wait for the other parent to go and feed. We'd give it a few seconds, kind of feeling like it was letting them, you know, swallow and digest whatever they'd just eaten. Then it would go in.
Yeah.
And they seemed to have a communication of where they were going to go. Sometimes they'd go together. Sometimes they'd fly in different directions, but there was definitely seemed a lot of intention there. I lost track of what I was saying, but yeah, it's a busy time.
You've gone back
so
to the birds.
It's a great time. It's the best time to actually get into doing a sit spot because there's so much happening, so much to observe right now.
We've actually had a bird, which may be a starling, coming and sitting on the rail of our deck and singing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And pooing on the railing. What's it doing? Why is it?
Well, I had this question, one of my questions, which is floating around the world right now. So where I've been sleeping this weekend, my head was literally 2 feet away from the bird nest. There's a wall in between.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, they'll feel safe. But waking up there, there was no bird song from the starlings at all. Obviously, I'm sleeping outside a lot, and the dawn chorus is beautifully loud at the moment. Mm. But not from Mama and Papa starling. And then my question is, how many parent birds are singing in the morning? Because obviously, there's got to be a lot of single birds who haven't managed to find a partner.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be a 50-50 split between adult male and females in the world, in any species. So, I mean, someone who's got a background in ornithology, the study of birds, might be able to answer this, but I don't really want an answer. I want to leave it out there. But, yeah, I'm wondering, is birdsong mostly from the solo birds? Because mum and dad seem to get pretty busy pretty early on.
And our railing is a stage to... broadcast to any single females out there.
Logically, it definitely makes some sense there.
Mm. Mm. Okay. I thought there was something that you want to talk about in one of your many... You've got lots of courses and workshops coming up. There was this particular one.
Sort of going into from the sit spot routine and doing bird mapping. I've got quite a few upcoming workshops, but one that was... kind of spent a year putting together, which I'm quite excited about, is bringing Nature Connection into your everyday life. A lot of my other workshops, you know, around firecraft and bushcraft and, you know, getting in the bush and traditional wisdom, traditional plant use and things. But probably the most powerful thing that I could support people with isn't things that they have to leave their everyday normal routines for, but how to actually bring those benefits into everything they do, into their everyday. So that's a workshop. I should get the dates out in a minute. Happening mid-December. It'll be probably held every 1 to 2 months. And we'll learn about what bird language and mapping, how to sort of understand the stories on your doorstep. We'll look at wild food, but things that you'll find growing around your house. So things that you can take 1 or 2 minutes every day to chuck in a salad or toss in some food that you're cooking and get the benefits and the connection to those plants as well. Navigation, weather, you know, instead of tuning into... You should definitely tune into Raglan Radio. But you should turn the volume down when the weather's on because there's a sky up there which is telling you the same thing. But listening to the sky gives you more benefits. So we'll look at natural navigation and listening to the sky and just little games and little core practices that are really easy to just bring into your life and fun to bring into your life, your work life, your family life, your friends, your social circles, and it will just help your journey along to feel more connected, more like you belong, more at home, more amongst friends with the natural world around you.
I don't know if I've asked this question quite so directly, but what's the benefits of connection? Because you're not just talking about, like, nature connection nature is the means, but connection, to be a connected human being, is the aim, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's the benefits of that?
I mean, you know, flipping that round, I think a lot of us, especially when we feel overwhelmed with modern life, you know, we've been tugged in so many directions, and the busyness and the fast pace, definitely get that sense of disconnection and that longing to actually just feel settled and still and reconnected with yourself and your family and the land around you. So for me, you know, so 10, 15 years into this journey, it's really made sense of who I am. It's really given me a strong sense of not just who I am within myself, but within this world, how I fit into this world. I think I've said before, when I'm in the wild, being an animal with nothing, really listening to nature, everything about myself makes sense. You know, that's what I was designed to do, in a way. And that experience has been so powerful for me. And just a sense of belonging and safety, you know, knowing that you'll always be warm and there'll always be food no matter where you are. It's a nice thing to carry through life with you.
That's a bit of your skills as well, though, that.
Yeah.
And the forest.
It is. But yeah. It's as much relationship as skills, you know. Skills and relationship go hand in hand. Every time you learn a new plant, it's a relationship begins with it.
The relationship is one of your skills.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's...
I'd put them on a different playing field.
Yeah, what am I saying? I'm saying the connection, being connected to the world around you when you're in the forest is an important skill in terms of it's a survival skill.
Mm.
You're not going to survive if you're not connected to what's around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you survive, the forest might not. Because that's the other side. If you're really not connected to the forest... Yeah, you might be able to figure things out for yourself, but it might not pan out too well for the environment around you. And that sounds bloody important.
That sounds like a familiar story in the modern world.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So this event we're talking about is on your new website.
It is.
Should we talk about your new website?
Yeah.
Or the refurbished website?
Refurbished.
Because
proud of it. I put a lot of time. I didn't enjoy doing it. I still feel a bit yuck from the amount of screen time, and it's really the opposite of what I'm really about. But I guess compromising and balance to exist in this modern world as well.
Yeah.
I've got a new website. It's hopefully nice and simple. All my upcoming workshops, kind of for the next 5 months. Up there, of which there are plenty, including school holiday programs. Just looking at it now, we've got advanced bushcraft, we've got the conscious bushcraft community day, which is 0 to 100 year olds. Come and learn these skills in a community environment. That's the next one on the 1st of December. We've got fire law, which is, you know, going quite deeply into traditional fire techniques and I guess the more spiritual aspect of that as well. Yeah, and what's it? The 8th of December, we've got the Bring a Nature Connection into Your Everyday Life. And I'm going to run that one not from Kudatayo, but actually from my home, because that's what it's about. It's about connecting from your home.
Okay.
So sharing my home and my routines with people, which is out in Waitatuna. So if any of this is interesting, even if it's not interesting, just go and have a look at the website. Kudatayo.com.
Yeah, yeah. Show some appreciation for Rob's sacrifice.
Yeah.
to his well-being. There must be people out there who enjoy making websites, find it a little more fulfilling.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, yeah. It's nice when people follow their passions and do what they enjoy.
So the first thing you've got on there is start of December, but have you got ongoing term time stuff happening at the moment?
Yeah, always, yeah.
Yeah.
It's every term. I just don't know how to include it. However, I need to include that because that's kind of...
Well, it's halfway through. So.
It's halfway through and it's generally running at capacity and... The sort of word of mouth generally keeps that thing rolling anyway.
Okay. I have a question about this. We've just been announcing, the Theatre Academy is doing their end-of-year performance and the Whangarei Youth Movement got their end-of-year performance. And, when I was involved with the soccer club, we had a prize giving because traditionally that's what you do with a sports club and you want to somehow celebrate the end of the period that you were together doing this thing.
Yeah.
And these are all things like that. Do you do that? Do you see that as important? Or is that, what's the thing that you're doing?
Yeah, so these days I'm feeling, there's been many years where I felt I should. And I think there's a lot of that, different events and modern or traditional celebrations, and there's that sense that we should, somehow we should be celebrating it and acknowledging these things, but not always knowing, the best way to actually go about doing that. I think there's a bit of cultural confusion, especially around traditional celebrations, because it's a different context.
There was for me for sports, because we were wanting to move. The point of kids' sport is not prizes and awards and gold stars and medals and things like that. Like, that's not why you play sport. Yeah. And I felt like it always took away from it, but also at the time didn't come up with anything better to bring the group together, the club together. And it felt important to do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Recent years, my philosophy around this has been more, Kudatai was as much an empty space as I can make it, in that it's a space for people to be their natural self, without expectations, without, oh, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that.
Yeah.
So creating that space and bringing into that, sort of taking out these sort of things we, should celebrate. I did inverted commas there with the should.
Finger quotes, air quotes.
It gives the opportunity for the kids to actually figure out, what am I excited for, So in the natural world, when it's warm enough to jump in the water and spending a year looking forward for those moments. And, and that might be the celebration, or certain things coming into harvest, or the start of the fire season, or, just sort of living life in a very natural context. What comes out of that, what individually, what the kids really value and get really excited for. And then in time, they become our celebrations, but there's a story to it. It's not because we should. It's not because everyone else is.
Yeah.
It's because whether we make an event of it or not, we're going to celebrate it anyway because it means a lot to us, and we think that's really cool. And I think that's how a lot of these celebrations, if you trace their stories back, they would have been important. There would have been stories behind them, which would have been appropriate for the context of the world that people were living in then. And creating an empty space allows us to find that, to look and go, well, what do we actually love? What do we really want to celebrate? And I'm all for sort of starting that story. And obviously it would take time, especially as a larger society, as a larger culture, but I think that's important, and we can actually get together and really celebrate things because it means something. It means a lot to us.
That's interesting. In a world that's changed so much and changed so rapidly, like, I feel like my generation especially has felt the hollowness of a lot of traditional celebrations, and abandoned them, thinking that they're a waste of time, and of course that. The hollow, out of touch, disconnected celebrations for sure are a waste of time, but the concept of actually celebrating something isn't necessarily a waste of time.
No, absolutely.
And I think that's a thing that my generation's been grappling with a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after the baby boomer generation, like, kind of threw everything out in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Actually, those moments where we do come together, just have a nice time together as a community. Raglan, we're lucky we've had the raft, Maui Dolphin Day, for a long time. And I think that's an event that lots of people will look forward to, and it's something the community gets behind. And having those days and those moments for a community to come together and share things, I guess, to an extent, the art weekend we've just had as well.
Yeah.
To celebrate our creative people in the community.
Yeah.
That's definitely a really cool thing too.
Yeah, yeah. Hey folks, we've been talking to Rob from Kudatayau, and it's our Nature Connection chat. Can we spell Kudatayau so people can go and see your hard work on your website?
Yeah, please do. It's Kuratayao, and that's .com for my newly revamped website.
Yeah, with a nice easy booking system. it feels funny. But I know the importance of this stuff. I've been through all this with the soccer club and the difference it makes to have all that kind of stuff sorted out in life.
It feels weird.
Even though you want to get everyone out away from technology,
The
journey to that involves technology. So
It is something I'm grappling with internally.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.